Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we've got Miss Katie, our food guru, is in the house. Woo, woo! Yep. Katie is back, and gosh, I'm so excited. Katie's going to be going through a holiday detox program that you can actually do during the holidays. You're like, what? You don't have to wait till the new year to do that New Year's resolution. You know, just like you could just dump that resolution and just say, I'm just going to do it 24/7. Miss Katie, how are you?
I am fabulous. I'm so excited to be back on Transformation Cafe.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
It has been so long. And Miss Amy, our my lovely co-host, Miss Amy, how are you this evening?
Well, my mouth is full. I'm eating a pie. I heard we were detoxing, so I wanted to finish my pie before I started.
Okay, well, Keith's going to talk about that, so I think we're going to be light on that. So, Miss Katie, you take it away. What do you want to talk about?
So I want to talk about the fact that the holidays do center around food, right? Food is very much a part of our human existence. It's not just for subsistence. It's about celebration and connection and social tribe. And so, and especially around the holidays, and there's so many holidays at this time of year, and most people are just like, oh, we're going into the holiday season. I'm going to gain weight. I'm not going to do my best. I'm going to be, you know, fat and flabby and not feel great. And I'm going to have brain fog and I'm going to not sleep well. And, oh, the stress of hanging out with family members that I don't always get along with. Like, let's be honest. Okay, that's what we think about when we think about the holidays. But when we think about that when we were kids, that wasn't our experience as kids. I want to hear from you two gals. What was the Nelson family household traditions for the holidays? Like, what did the holidays look like to you in terms of food, friends, family, and fun?
Ready.
Well, we grew up in the military, so it was, like, different all the time. I think a lot of times we really didn't get to spend it with our, you know, family of origin because they were someplace else other than where we were. So we would have dinners with our military family and or our neighborhood family. So it was a family by adoption, and we just had the standard food except for, which I still can't deal with, because of our Danish tradition, there's raisins in the stuffing, and I just can't eat it.
See, and I love that. Mama put walnuts and raisins in the stuffing.
Well, I could do the walnuts.
Okay.
Yeah. I always throw out a little bit of mine. I do the dried cranberries.
Oh, nice. So when you look at your holiday table, when you're envisioning what you're going to do with your family or your extended family, your blood relatives or your non-blood relatives, I grew up, by the way, in a household that we lived on a street where we had a lot of aunties and uncles who were not blood relatives, right? You know, it was a really tight-knit neighborhood. What are some of the foods that, like, you're like, absolutely, I will not give up this food at Thanksgiving? I'll tell you mine. Mashed potatoes, and they're not made with freaking olive oil or broth, okay? I'm talking a pound of butter.
Me too. I vote yes.
You vote yes.
And, you know, and it's funny because it seems like it's a weird thing, but black olives.
Oh, I love black olives.
My mom would always have black olives out. You know, when you could tell it was a holiday or something special, we'd have black olives out.
Absolutely.
And he had to do the fingers. The olives on the fingers.
I was going to say, my nephew always put them on his fingers. He loves black olives. Shout out to Jeff, my nephew. Absolutely awesome. So as I'm talking about this, as I'm asking you questions about the foods that were on your table, what are some of the things that are coming up for you from a, a positive heart effect. Like for me, I'm envisioning the table with my mashed potatoes and stuffing, and I'm all about the carbs at Thanksgiving. The turkey, who the hell cares about turkey? But I'm all about those carbs, right? And I never make stuffing any other time of the year. But that's what I equate with the holidays. As I think about it, I start to get really excited about being with my family to experience the joy of those foods. So what are some of the things that brought you joy during those holidays?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, we didn't get to see our dad very often, honestly, and usually he was around.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so the people.
But, I mean,
people,
you know, my mom would always make pies. She was the pie maker. And she would always have leftover pie crust, and she'd the cinnamon sugar with the butter.
Ooh.
And do the little roll-ups, you know, and that was like a special thing that we would have it on holidays is just the leftover.
Yeah.
And she'd always make more because she knew that we really enjoyed that. So we always had our little cinnamon roll-ups, you know, with the extra pie dough.
No raisins in it, though.
No raisins.
Yeah, there weren't any raisins in that. No wonder you were like, yay.
My whole point of this discussion is what I want everybody to start to think about when they think about the holidays is, really, what are the foods that are really important to you on your table and why are they important to you, right? What memories do they invoke? What feelings do they bring up to the surface? And that's really, you know, I'm going to ask you a really crazy question, but what is food? What is food to you? Like, what, when I say food, what do you think? I know
food is
one
love.
Thing
food
that
is connection. Food is community.
Yes. Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You love to cook together, to eat together. Most people say food is fuel, but that's just one function of food. And food is fuel. It does give our bodies fuel. But it also gives us nutrients to build structure and to repair structure, to be catalysts in chemical interactions in our body that need to happen to make things happen, like to build hormones and have neurotransmitters make our brain work. So food is not just fuel, right? And food is not just the nutrients that it contains. It has memories. It has love and affection. And sometimes it has negative connotations too. But the time of year that we're in right now is when food becomes not fuel, not nutrients. It's really about the emotions that this food brings forward. So if you were to say to me, we're not going to give you a pumpkin pie this year at Thanksgiving, I'd be like, what? What? What are you talking about? Right? I would be devastated by that because that is something that is this time of year. It's the only time of year I have pumpkin pie, and I love pumpkin pie. So food at this time of year goes beyond being nutrients. It goes beyond being fuel. It is a very important part of who we are as humans and human beings. We are tribal people, i.e. we live in a society and we have community and connection. And the last thing I want you to do is not get a chance to eat the foods that you love. So that's what a holiday pre-tox is all about. I'm going to share with you how you can go about eating your holiday food on Thanksgiving Day and not worry about whatever your choices you make. Don't worry about like, oh, make the best choice. No, make the worst choice. Whatever you want, go for it.
Katie?
Because, yeah.
May I throw something in here?
Sure.
For me, food tends to be something that's really frightening for me and can be the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I love what you're doing. You're giving us a way that I can do this. And I can do it in a way that meets who I am.
Right. Right. Embrace the food as part of your family tradition, not as fuel, not as nutrients, part of your tradition, right? And it's one day out of the year. Now, there's other holidays coming up, and we get that. But this is one, let's face it, this is a holiday, Thanksgiving, where we tend to go a little overboard, right? In the calorie consumption, the fat consumption, the everything consumption. And in a moment, I'm going to talk a little bit about what your plate might look like leading into Thanksgiving. There are no macronutrients, i.e. fat, protein, or carbohydrates that are evil. None of them are evil. But there are certain things that can support your body and certain things that can deplete your body. And what we want to focus on, if we're going to go into this holiday and say, look, I'm just going to embrace the traditions of my family. I'm going to embrace the foods that make me happy. I'm going to eat as much stuffing as I want, and I'm not going to worry about whether it was made with low fat or no fat or whatever fat. I'm going to just eat what I want. If we're going to get there, we have to support our body to get there. And a great way to do that is to say, look, there's this thing called the 85-15 rule. And that means if you eat 85% of the time, you eat foods that are nourishing and support your body's function, 15% of the time, you can eat foods that don't, because your body will be fine with 85%. But here's the interesting thing. So we're going to do some math, and I apologize ahead. I'm going to do some math. It's very simple math, but here's the deal. So let's look at this 85-15 rule. 85% of the time, you're eating foods that are healthy and whole and nourishing and help your body function well. And 15% of the time, you don't care. You just eat whatever the heck you want. A Butterfinger, an Oreo cookie, a Krispy Kreme donut. Yes, I named some brands, and those are my go-tos. Those are my 15%. So here's the deal. If you think about a week as 7 days, and here's the math, 7 days, 3 meals a day, right? That works out to be 21 meals a week. And if you took 15% of those meals and said, I'm just going to eat whatever the heck I want, that's 3 meals. So if you were to take, right? If you were to say Thanksgiving is my 15% this week, and just say I'm going to do all three of my meals on Thanksgiving, are just going to be crazy. There you go. You don't have to worry breakfast, lunch, or dinner, right? You can just eat whatever you want on Thanksgiving if that's your 15%. But it only works if the 6 days leading up to Thanksgiving, you eat a diet that's really supportive of all your body's needs in terms of fuel, nutrition, energy, all of the resources it needs, right? So that 85%, what does that look like? You know what? I'm going to share with you what that 85% looks like, and it's crazy easy. So when I say healthy whole food, what does a plate look like to you, Robin, when I say that, healthy whole food on your plate, what does that look like? Give me your favorite meal.
So it would be probably like half my palm of some kind of a meat, mm-hmm. usually fish or chicken, and then I would probably maybe have some steamed vegetables, and then the other, like, whole other side of my plate would be salad.
Okay, cool. So about sounds like about 75% of your plate is vegetables of some sort,
mm-hmm.
Right? And about mm-hmm. a quarter of your plate is something very protein dense. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, what's mm-hmm. your plate look like?
Probably a third protein, a third vegetable, and then something that kind of looks starchy.
Okay, so you're going to add some of the starchier veggies. Okay, good. Gotcha. All right. So you're both on the right track. So if you're going to support your 15% on Thanksgiving Day, the 6 days leading up, the ideal plate would be at least 50% of your plate is what we call non-starchy vegetables. And an easy rule of thumb to know if a vegetable is starchy or not, it doesn't always work 100%, and I'll share the ones that are the exceptions. But if it grows above ground and it's a plant, it's a non-starchy. So think about, right? So asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, bok choy, lettuce, tomatoes, zucchini, eggplant. These are what we would consider non-starchy vegetables. So given that I said things that grow above ground, what would be something things that grow below ground that you would think, oh, they must be starchy?
Like a radish.
A radish? Yep. What else?
It grows underground. I don't consider that a fat one, though. I don't think that it'd be high carb vegetable,
it's
though.
It's not high in carbohydrates. It's actually very high in fiber. So, but it is still considered a starchy vegetable. And what else? What else grows underground?
Oh, well, of course, it's my favorite, potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, right? One of my favorites would be acorn squash. It doesn't grow below ground, but it grows on the ground, right? The fruit sits on the ground. If you look at a squash, squashes, butternut squash, acorn squash, etc., they are on a vine and they hang out on the ground. So they grow close to the ground. Carrots, parsnips. Now, most people go, well, those aren't all that starchy. You're right, they're not all that starchy, because most starchy vegetables aren't all that starchy, right? They're really not. They're just a little bit starchy. So starchy vegetables still do belong on your plate, but leading into Thanksgiving, if you're like me and you're one who's going to just have a big plate of stuffing and a big plate of mashed potatoes, you might want to leave the starchy vegetables off your plate for the 6 days leading up. But if you love starchy vegetables and you're not going to be like overindulging on Thanksgiving, your plate could be 50% non-starchy vegetables, i.e. plants that grow, that you eat the pieces of them that grow above ground. So the stalk, i.e. asparagus, the leaves, i.e. lettuce, and the fruit, i.e. bell peppers, tomatoes, etc. 50% non-starchy. A quarter of your plate could be starchy vegetables, such as butternut squash, acorn squash, potatoes, what have you. And then a quarter of your plate to a third of your, less than a quarter of your plate could be protein dense, and that could be meat, or it could be tofu, or it could be a grain that has a high protein, such as quinoa, which is actually technically a seed, not a grain, or beans, if you do beans. Now, I'm a paleo kind of person, so I don't do a lot of beans. I don't do a lot of grains, but many of my clients do, and they do well with it. So when you look at your plate, but what isn't on your plate? Did you notice, did I say anything like a macaroni and cheese from the microwave or pasta? Pasta is a beautiful dish, but it's not a whole food. So leading into the 85-15, pasta is not an 85er, it's a 15. Because it's a highly processed food. When I say 15%ers are the things that are not whole food, what are some of the things that you equate with not a whole food, like a processed food? What are some of your favorite go-to not processed, not whole, but processed foods?
The mac and cheese.
The mac and cheese, right.
Yeah, so the mac and cheese.
The nice thing, I can share with you an amazing recipe using spaghetti squash as your mac, and then you put the cheese with it, and you'll never miss the pasta. But that's okay for another time. But yes, right. So anything that's in a box, and yes, rice has to come in a box, and you know, some of our grains have to come in a box because otherwise they'd be like a mess, you know, in your house. But processed food is what we're really talking about when we talk about that 15% that we're really trying to avoid for the 6 days leading up to Thanksgiving, right? So 50% of your plate, non-starchy vegetables. That means vegetables that grow above the ground. 25% can be starchy vegetables. Those are the vegetables that grow in the ground or on the ground. And 25% of your plate can be protein dense. Ideally, when you go with that protein, when you're looking at meat or fish or even soybean or quinoa, you're looking at things that were grown in their natural environment. So when I say that, when I look at a chicken, by the way, chickens are not vegetarians, in case you didn't know. So when it says on the package, vegetarian raised, no, chickens are not vegetarians. What are chickens? What do chickens eat? Anybody know? You know?
Bugs.
Seen the chicken. Bugs.
They said any bugs. Makes them a lot healthier, yeah. But usually it's some kind of grains, and depending on what the farmer has, you know, that's a big question.
They scratch around in the dirt and they eat whatever's there. They'll eat the clover, the alfalfa, the grass, the bugs. They do a great job, by the way, in an organic garden. They're a fabulous pesticide because what they'll do is they'll eat any bugs that are living on your plants. So chicken, any animal that was raised responsibly, and what that means is it was given the type of diet and the type of environment it would naturally have lived in, that's the kind of food you want to put on your table in the 85% space, okay? So that means chickens, they scratch around in the dirt. So you need pasture-raised chickens and pasture-raised eggs. When it comes to beef, you want grass-fed, grass-finished beef. Ideally, they should be pasture-raised. They should walk around and eat all the different vegetables that are in the world, which means for their world to be alfalfa and clover and grasses and things of that nature. Pork eats all sorts of stuff, okay? So pigs eat everything and anything if they're given the chance to do so. So you want animals that were raised in their natural habitat and with their natural diet, including fish. You don't want farmed fish. You want fish that actually were wild and they lived in the wild and they did their thing in the wild. So quality also matters. It's not just what's on the plate, but the quality, right? And vegetables, when it comes to fruits and vegetables, there's this thing called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So Environmental Working Group, if you go to their website, ewg.org, you can see what are the Clean 15, what are the Dirty Dozen. And what that is it's what fruits and vegetables have the highest level of pesticide residue. That's the Dirty Dozen. And what have the lowest pesticide residue? That's the Clean 15. And the idea is that when it comes to buying your produce, ideally buy organic, ideally actually local organic, but if you can't buy organic because it's too expensive, then buy organic for the Dirty Dozen, all right? Clean 15 you can buy conventionally grown, but the Dirty Dozen, please buy the organic because then you're going to have a much healthier profile in your food. So that's my little tip on the plate. So if we go back to that plate, let's just look at that plate one more time for 6 days before you go into Thanksgiving. Half your plate, non-starchy vegetables, ideally organic local produce. Quarter of your plate, non-starchy vegetables, again, organic or at least the Clean 15. And then a quarter of your plate, responsibly raised protein, which would be meats, fish, eggs, et cetera, that came from animals that lived the life they were intended to live, i.e. in a pasture, eating the foods they were intended to eat. And then you drizzle all over it some beautiful, healthy fats, whether that be gorgeous extra virgin olive oil or a little bit of coconut oil or some avocado oil or hazelnut oil or walnut oil or sesame oil. These are all beautiful fats that you can put on. Walnuts earlier with the raisin. Walnuts are beautiful on your plate. Pecans, macadamia nuts, any of these beautiful nuts. They should be treated properly. Don't over roast them. They shouldn't have any sugar in them. It should just be nuts, right? Just nuts, raw nuts. And if you do that for 6 days leading into Thanksgiving, you eat that way, that plate. You could just eat whatever you want on Thanksgiving. And don't worry about like, oh, I'm not going to do the green bean casserole. I'm going to do the green bean almondine. No, go for the casserole if you like it. Go for the casserole, right? Do the thing you like on Thanksgiving. Make Thanksgiving your three meals out of the whole week. They're going to be whatever the heck you want. And the rest of the week, do that plate. Do that plate that I just described. So who can tell me what's on that plate?
Vegetables.
Come on, Amy. Vegetables. I was going to say, Amy, you know what? Half of the plate is what? What kind of vegetables are on half of them?
I know the answer. I wrote it down. 50% is non-starchy vegetables, quarter plate starchy vegetables, and a quarter plate is protein, healthy protein.
There you go. And then what are you drizzle all over the top of it, Robin?
Yes. So and I want to.
You got your olive oil. You got your. Almond, you can do an almond oil, you can do an avocado oil, you know, all those, and just making sure that they're local if you can get them. That's always great. And so just having things
somebody who's been working on this with Katie for many, many years. A lot of you, this is probably sounding really intimidating. We've got some time. So what I want to say is, like, start working your way towards that. Ideally,
right.
You want to do exactly what you're saying for those 6 days. But let's start now kind of getting yourself in that direction. And
Yep. And
as you do it, it gets easier. And it isn't as hard as it may seem if you've not been doing that.
Right. And I think the most important thing is this. When I say whole food, I'm talking food as close to nature created it. So what I want you to start to think about, and it's going to be a big mind shift, don't worry. Don't go for the non-fat yogurt. Go for the full fat. Don't go for the, you know, non-fat this, non-fat that, or, you know, pseudo this and pseudo that. Go for the real food, right?
Absolutely.
There's a reason that,
you know, in our house, before we would just get low-fat everything. And part of that is you're satiated faster with the whole foods. So you're going to naturally eat less of it.
Right. And the other piece of that puzzle is milk from a cow, milk from a human, by the way, milk from any creature comes with fat. Why? Because milk has a huge amount of sugar. Now, it's different types of sugar. Human sugars, cow sugars are different, but it's all sugar. And why does sugar come packaged with fat? Because fat slows down the absorption of sugar into the bloodstream so that you don't get a spike, right, of blood sugar. So fat is a way to that naturally moderates these foods going into your bloodstream and doesn't spike your blood glucose levels. And so anybody who's looking at their blood glucose, anybody who's been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes or been told they're pre-diabetic, you got to watch that stuff, right? So you want the fat with the sugar. The moment you take the fat out of the yogurt, you've just created a sugar bomb. And The same thing goes with the eggs. My favorite thing about people with, like, the egg whites, stop that nonsense. Eggs come with an egg white and a yolk for a reason. Egg whites, by the way, are full of a very, very inflammatory component called albumin. And without the yolk of the egg, which is full of cholesterol, yes, it is, and cholesterol is not your enemy, and we'll have that for another conversation, but that cholesterol, that fat, moderates that albumin so it does not cause inflammation in your body. So all of you who think you're righteous for eating egg white omelets, stop it. Stop doing it. Please. You're just causing inflammation in your body. Eat the whole freaking egg.
I just want to thank you so much you're such a wealth of knowledge that a lot of these things are really big stuff for people, more than,
yep.
I don't know if you really realize that these are things that are like, oh, my God, I never really thought about that. And I really want to honor you for all your hard work to get to this point. And, and anybody who's listening, just really, really sit with this and really, like, these changes can make a huge impact, not only in your health now, but in the future.
Yep. And eating real food will never hurt you. That's what I really want that message to be, is when you eat real food, when you eat food that's been manipulated and processed, and that's when we start to get the problems. You can still eat them. Trust me, I love my Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm not going to give them up, but I don't eat them every day, right? And I don't even eat them every month. But the point being is food is not just calories. It's not just fuel. It's not just nutrients for structure. It is part of our culture. It's part of who we are. It's part of our celebrations. Please, please continue to celebrate with your families. And hopefully some of the tips I gave you today will allow you to do that and do a little less with less guilt in your head. But don't feel guilty when you eat something that tastes delicious and brings back and evokes beautiful memories, right? I think that's also very important. And that binds you to the people in the room with you. Because that's the holiday, right? So it's a big part
of it. It's
the
reason why it's
right?
cooked with love. Yeah, it's cooked with love.
It's cooked with love. Absolutely. And you guys know I cook for my family all the time. And when I do, I'm so happy to see them eat it. And I'm so happy to see them go, oh, my gosh, can I have some more? And I'm like, yeah, please, go ahead. And nowhere do I ever say, by the way, that's healthy for you, because I don't need to. They don't care.
They
will not want it anymore. Yeah, for sure.
They don't care.
Exactly.
They literally don't care. They're
exactly.
And in my family, we have this thing called, is that a do again when I make a recipe? Mm-hmm. And if they go, oh, yeah, then I know I need
it. Nice. Thank you, Katie, for so much for just all this great stuff. Oh, my gosh. I no longer feel guilty. I'm going to go have my holiday cake and eat it, too. It's all good. I put in the promo, too. I said a healthier version, of course. I said, maybe. So, and I love that, the 85-15, and, you know, you have that one day where you're doing your 15, and then just start over again after that and just keep working your way through the holidays. And especially, too, you know, you have parties and stuff coming up. They know that it's, you know, oh, that's the day I'm just going to eat what I want, and I'll be monitoring myself with my 85.
Right.
I love it.
Well, what's really fun about it is you get to a point where you've been eating 85 so much that you go and eat something at a party or whatever, like a dip that wasn't homemade or whatever, and you're like, dude, that wasn't really that good, right? And you get to the point where you get picky. And you're like, I'm not gonna waste my time on that. And that's when you really start really appreciate the beauty of the food around you. So, you know, and enjoy. We're coming up on citrus season, is the winter season, right? And we're going to stop eating the strawberries, stop eating the raspberries, stop eating the blueberries. They're not going to be in season anymore. Move into the season. Enjoy the season and make the most of it. And that's, to me, what the holidays are. They're kind of the entry point into the whole next phase of what's going to be in season. And maybe we'll do a talk about that in a couple of weeks, about seasonality and how that feeds into our health, because –
yeah, I think that would be wonderful.
Not just a season for food, right? There's a season for light. Our daylight is changing, and our exercise mode has to change. And how I know I had to put on long pants the other day to go for my walk in the morning. Oh, my gosh. You know, so there's a seasonality to everything we do as humans. And when we start to respect that circadian rhythm, we already know what we call the diurnal rhythm, which is our daylight and our nightlight. But we have seasonal circadian rhythms, and when we start to respect those, our bodies feel better, we feel better, and we move better and think better and eat better when we start to respect those. So I'd love to do something on circadian rhythms, Robin.
Okay, let's do it in a couple of weeks. That sounds great. That sounds great.
Woo-hoo!
All right.
Yeah, let's get out our Farmer's Almanac and meet that for that.
Let's do it.
Guys.
Thank you, Katie.
Already,
we hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.